I want to talk to you about Word 101. Word 101. What does 101 mean? 101 means basic, first steps. 101, first principles. I want to, as I was praying this week over many, many things, as you can imagine, this began to, what I've done this week, this is me. As I've prayed, I know as many of you are working, you can't do this, but as I've got the day set aside for prayer and fasting, I've been able to just seek God for myself in the morning, and then in the afternoon, going back for you lot. You lot. It's a typical Manchester phrase, that, isn't it? You lot. For you people, for the people, for you, the people. And I've been able to, because I need to receive from God. So I'm more and more sharper and sensitive, so that when I go to pray for you, I'm more and more sharper and sensitive. And this is what God spoke to me about you. This is what he told me to tell you this week. And I know this is God, so, and I'm okay with that. Let's just turn in our Bibles just to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read a scripture that you've read thousands of times, but let's not become familiar with it. Let's let it speak to us, and then I'll make clear what it's trying to say to us. Well, not what it's trying to say, what it is saying to us as a people, as readers. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to pick up at verse 4, and it's on the issue of spiritual gifts. And I'm going to make it clear to you. So let's pick up at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts. How many of you know that? There's a Ronaldo. And there's a Kevin De Bruyne. I personally want the De Bruyne myself, not the Ronaldo. The Ronaldo's getting old, but the De Bruyne, he's different. Anyway, that's just, there's different kind of gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. There are different kind of services, but it's the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but it's the same God. So we have the same same Spirit, same Lord, same God. We must understand, let's establish that first. The Spirit, the Lord, God is in all these gifts. Irrespective, we must, because we are told to test the Spirit. We're told to test where it comes from, how gifts flow, where they come from, because there's such things as counterfeit. Amen? And you know that with software. Software, someone's telling you that it'll do a job, and then you put it on your computer and it just messes up. Because the source is not pure. So, you know, when we first started going to Malaysia, software was sold everywhere on the street. And then they cleaned the streets up. Now you can only buy the authentic copies. But the same God works in all of them. Now to each one a manifestation of the Spirit. So there is given through the Spirit. So to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit through the Spirit. So it's keeping with the source. The origin is through the Spirit. A message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And he keeps emphasizing who they're coming from and where these gifts are coming from. They're not coming from anywhere. They're coming from some person. And he's called the Holy Ghost. And he carries the same Lord, the same God, and the same Spirit in them. All the time. And it's important we understand that, because we don't want to receive something that's not from God. Amen. Amen? To another, faith. To another, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And he keeps making this point. People miss this. It's not just healing. It's not just it's by the same Spirit. Never can we break off from the source, from the origin. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kind of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. So what do you want to determine from God? You have gifts and talents on the natural level. And many of us are happy with the natural gifts because it enables us to go and work and earn a living and bless us and enables us to prosper, but there are spiritual gifts that we can desire. In fact, the Bible says you don't lack any spiritual gift, but we sure lack the practice of them. Shall I alter this?
See, because it's... Put it down there.
We sure lack the practice of them. Now, word 101. All gifts come through a word. Jesus is the word. And God speaks to us. If I'm going to flow in healing, how many of you know I'll get a word first? I'll get a word. What to pray. How to pray. If I'm going to give a message in tongues, I'll get a word, Lord, saying, it's you, you're up next, I'm going to use you. If I get a prophecy, it's word. God does nothing without his word. Even gifts need word. So, let me show you. Who's got a set of keys? Phil, have you got your keys with you? No. Who's got a set of keys? All right, that'll do, even better. Now here, I can hear this microphone rumbling around all over the place. Do we need to put it further down, Z? Up. We're going up to the high places. Okay. These keys. Now you see blue and you see pink and you see silver and you see gold. And you haven't got a clue what those keys are for, have you? None of you know what these keys are for. I know what these keys are for. Dave knows what these keys are for. But when Dave comes to a lock, if the owner of the keys is not familiar with the keys, he keeps doing, it's not that one, it's not that one, it's not that one, it's not this one, it's not that one. That's why we color code things. So we know at certain locks, this will open that door, this will open that door, but the others are not color coded in this sense. But what does that do? That delays. That delays things because you don't know what key, you've got the right key, but you don't know what key is going to open the door. So it delays. So time is lost because we don't know what key we need. So by the Spirit has to speak to us to tell us what key we need to open what door. Now, the more you operate in gifts, the more you can color code them. So you can get quicker to the scene. If someone's dying, how many of you know they don't need a word of knowledge? Someone needs the gift of healing. Yes? If someone's dead, they don't need a word of knowledge. So we need to know, that sounds obvious, but in the Spirit, we need to be clear. So let me read something to you. I'll give you your keys back in a minute, David. They will come back to you. They will return to sender. Matthew 16:18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So God is about to do something through the life and the lives of Peter's relationship with Christ. Notice how I said that. God is about to do something, build something through Peter's relationship with Christ. God is about to do something through your relationship with Christ. He can only do something through a relationship. And a revelation and an acknowledgement and an acceptance of that relationship in my life is good and it's wholesome. It's good for me. So let's go back and read this a second. And I tell you that on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So this, he said something to Peter that's profoundly important. I'm going to give you something that the gates of hell will not overcome. Wow. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Now, Jesus was responding to a question that he previously asked. And he asked, who do people say that I am? And Peter, because he receives a revelation of who Jesus is, he says, you are the Christ. Well, Peter, Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my father spoke words into your heart. And you realized as the Father spoke, it proclaimed a word of knowledge that I, the one who asked you the question, actually am the Son of God. So God put word inside Peter. Peter now uses words to confirm the message has been received. And now he's delivering it to all the crowd around him, the others, and he's also speaking it in front of Jesus. Jesus then responds, well, I acknowledge that message because my dad just told me he's going to tell you something. So now it's come from the Father. The Father dropped the word inside his heart. He spoke it out and it got confirmed on the outside. That's how spiritual gifts work. Heaven speaks, confirms it inside your spirit. You then begin to use what's spoken. And then on the outside, you get confirmed what was spoken on the inside. Do you see that? Some of you, well, I'm not quite sure. God speaks, you receive, you then speak what God has spoken, and then the results speak for themselves. Testimony is given. Yes, you are the Christ. Yes, yes, Peter, I recognize that email. Yes, me and my father, it's an encrypted email, Peter, and you could have only received it from my dad. So, Jesus was speaking directly to Peter, knowing full well that the Holy Spirit would be recording that conversation for future generations to read. It was a private conversation that got recorded for public use. We are now reading that encounter, what took place 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. What an amazing conversation that when you're talking to Jesus, you never know what's private and what's going to be made public. Yeah? The Spirit guides us into all truth. So we are reading the conversations that took place 2,000 years ago because it's still speaking to us today and it's still guiding. Why? Because Jesus is still speaking to Peters like you and me. And the Holy Spirit is still speaking. He's still confirming. So the people can keep on receiving and can keep on speaking. So God can keep on confirming so that you can keep on receiving. And that's how the kingdom of God advances. Words. Words. Your mind is full of words. And when your mind's finished with you, then your soul gets polluted. But if God can speak to you, your spirit can be full of words and instruction. Words carry instructions. Words carry power. Words carry direction. Words carry purpose. God speaks word 101. Can you imagine if God couldn't speak? Well, he wouldn't be a God we could follow. He'd be a mind-reading God. You can't have a relationship with someone who you've got to read their mind. Open your mouth and God speaks. So he says, I'll build my church upon that statement. With people like you, Peter, I've got this thing that when Jesus said, upon you, I'll build this, upon this, I'll build my church, I got a feeling that Jesus was pointing to himself when the word rock came out. Upon this rock. The Catholics think it's Peter. But I got a feeling that when Jesus stood there in this conversation, Jesus is pointing to himself. Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Just an insight. Upon this rock. We've missed that. We think he's, because the dialogue's with Peter, he thinks he's talking to Peter. He is talking to Peter, but on this rock. Peter's not the rock. Jesus is the rock. Now, can Jesus build his church on this rock? Yes. If he's connected to the source. Jesus can build anything through anyone, providing you're stable on the ground. By the same Spirit, by the same God, by the same Lord. So, and I will give you the keys. Now notice he didn't say, I'll give you the key. Repentance is a key. It's not the only key. You don't get into the kingdom without repentance. So repentance is a key. It's only one. Now, I don't know when Jesus stands up there and he holds his keys, how many keys are on there? Are on God's key ring, right? God's got silent keys. He's not the jailer. He only has to speak word. Words are keys. But you've got to know what words need to be spoken. You know when you go in an environment and it's a dodgy environment or it's a prickly environment, you're very aware, either keep your mouth shut. One word could ignite the place. Right? And then all of a sudden someone says, what's your opinion? I don't know what to say. In fact, look smart and keep your mouth shut. But what happens if you're in that environment and by the same Spirit, by the same God, by the same Lord, he says, say this. And you're thinking, Lord, you know this is a volatile environment. Yes, and that's exactly why I'm asking you to speak this word. It's the key that's going to arrest the environment and open it up. And you think, God. Not why me? Today, Lord, is not a good day. No, today is the perfect day to... And he's got all these keys. Now, you've got repentance. Have you only got one key to your house? Well, I suppose if you live in a flat and it's only one way in and one way out. No, because you'll even have a key to the door as you get out the flat. It'll have a code or whatever. It's a key, nonetheless. Most of us have keys for every parts of our building. We've got window keys. We've got door keys. We've got car keys. We've got keys for everything. True? It's true. Now, aren't you glad that God doesn't give you a bunch of keys like this to carry around with you? He just says, words, principles are going to open up. They're my keys. Words connected to principles. Principles open up doors in the kingdom. Principles, words. Say this, say that, do this, do that. Now, like I said, these keys are color-coded so that it can allow its users quicker entrance. How many of you would you like quicker entrance into the things of life? I would. Yeah? So if we're going to have prayer and fasting, how many of you know prayer and fasting itself is a key? How many of you know forgiveness is a key? Because it's a key. Why? Because if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. It's a principle. It's a principal key. And there are so many principles throughout Scripture that you and I need light to understand. And our Christianity is only as effective and productive as the keys we can obtain. So many of us have got a repentance key and that's it. So I know if I keep confessing, really what you need is a key to sin less. If you sin less, you don't have to use that key as often. Does that make sense? Right. So, small keys. Now, if I'd have brought my keys, I've got, like jailer's mine. My keys have got some small keys on them. Very, very small keys. Have anyone got any small keys on their key ring? They're not all big keys. They're not all front door keys, are they? So you've got keys of different sizes. Right, so a smaller key, look at the biggest key you've got on your key ring and then look at the smallest one and they look vastly different. Now then you Then you have to ask yourself, is a small key just as valid as a big key? Yes. Of course it is. Yes. Why? Because a small key opens up something that's close to you just the same as a big key does. Now, how many of you know you can't put a small key in a big key lock? Because the big key lock will open it up. Will not open it. It will swallow it. Right. Some of us are trying to use small key principles for big key locks. And you wonder why you can't get answers from God. Because you need the right understanding. So when you're praying, how many of you know begging is not the right key? Begging is not the right key to ask God. God, you're dead tight. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Begging does not Putting God's arm up his back does not make God answer your needs. It's the wrong key, son. It's a soulish key. It's a manipulative key. It doesn't carry the same Spirit, same Lord, and the same God on it. So we need the right key. Small keys open small locks. Big keys open big locks. But in the Spirit, we need spiritual keys. Now, some of those locks that you've got in your life have been locked for a long time. How many of you know the key to blessing? The keys to blessing require sowing, require giving, require many, many things. And many believers have only got one key. They think that because they tithe, that covers all giving. That's a key you need to understand. Tithing is tithe, giving's giving. Sowing and reaping is giving. Tithe is not the same. And people fight over this, and that's why many of them never unlock the true prosperity over their life. Now, if someone says that, I don't know anybody who talks about giving without taking an offering. In this house, we talk about giving and we don't ask for it at the end of the meeting. Why? Because we just let the truth fall into you and you've got to work it out yourself. I didn't say I'm going to talk about giving, Dave. Now, do you want to give an offering? No? Do you want to go tap and go? Switch? Whatever you want to call it. So, it's a long way from here to you, Dave. Yeah, they've got to come closer. So, spiritual words are keys. That when you receive them in your spirit, they unlock doors to spiritual breakthroughs that lead you to spiritual treasure. Let me say that again. Spiritual words are keys that when you receive them in your spirit, they unlock doors that lead us to breakthroughs and lead you to spiritual treasure. When you've got a principle in your life, it's treasure. You understand something now. You've obtained something that maybe others haven't. You've got a power that maybe others have not yet discovered. It's a treasure because God revealed it to you. You don't see that. You've got something that the person at the side of you may not know. See, we sit there and when Phil turns up in his Mercedes, example. Phil turns up in his Mercedes. And Ange turns up in a Suzuki Swift. And let's say him and Ange are not married. All of a sudden, a woman in the Suzuki Swift might go, "Ooh, look at the guy with his Mercedes. Wow, he's doing well. He must be a wealthy businessman." Right? Years ago, my pastor, he had a Toyota Space Cruiser. And it was the in thing at the time. And he told me that many churches he had to go to, when he went to churches, he had to park his car down the road so that the people in the church didn't look at him as if to say, "You're just a prosperity preacher." And they equated that if he must be blessed, he's ripping everybody off. They never thought he might have worked for it. They never ever asked themselves, he might have some principles that they might need to know. They just judged him by his wealth. But when we look at people with wealth, not everybody's born into a royal family. Not everybody was born and given a great inheritance. People are wealthy because they put principles to work. So rather than judge them and be cynical, why don't you say to them, "I notice the Lord has blessed you." And have a dialogue and find out if there's something you can learn and glean from. Rather than judge and criticize and reduce them, because you see someone who's got wealth. The church can handle blessing as long as it's their blessing and no one else is getting it other than them. It's true. I said it's true. How jealous people become of somebody else's blessing. I've said to Phil, whatever blessings he gets, he's worked for them. I say to him, whatever you earn is yours. It's not mine. It's not mine. Just because I know him, it's not mine. It's his. Now, if he says to him, join this dot up, that's his business, not mine. That's not my business to say, well, Lord, I've noticed there's a wealthy man in our church. Speak to him for me. God says, well, actually, I'm more wealthy than him. I never asked God for you to give me money. You want to be safe there? I've been in the ministry 20-odd years and I've never asked God to tell the people downstairs to give me money. Some people say, well, you're not getting it anyway. Well, that's your business. So let me take you to something what I really want to share with you this morning. I want you to understand this principle of word. God opens up the supernatural realm through word. Daniel chapter 5. It's in the Old Testament. Not Daniel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, verse 24. Daniel, you may have read the story before. If not, here we go again. Daniel 5, 24. Therefore, he sent the hand. Now, here we are. The king has seen a vision on the wall. The king's been a bit of a naughty boy. And here he is, when we're cutting in on the story here. The king's had a vision on the wall, and here's now Daniel. God's shown Daniel what the king saw, and now Daniel is about to respond and tell the king the dream. Now, God is speaking to Daniel words through the gifts of the Spirit. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. So he saw a hand write these words. Excuse me. The king saw this hand writing these words. And then he saw these words. This is the inscription that was written. Mene, tekel, parson. Four words. Four words are now going to, they're encrypted, that the king doesn't understand. Now watch this, these are encrypted words. Just as, who do people say I am? They're encrypted words that no one can read unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. The king can read, he can write, but he can't understand this language. Many of us can read and write, but we can't understand the language of the Spirit. And God is now speaking, and it's going to be significant, and you need to understand words when you're going to go. If you're going to be effective for God in life, you're going to have to understand that sometimes God might say one word to you that opens up a whole sentence. The God I serve doesn't have long dialogue with me. He doesn't have to, because he has a way of saying one thing that opens up a whole understanding. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So he reads, many tekel parsin. Like, what language is that? There was no Google in those days. The king didn't have access. He didn't have Wi-Fi. No one could Google in those days. No YouTube. So this is what the words mean. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. That's what one word means, that. God has seen you and he's brought the end of your days. The reign, he's brought it to an end. Tekel means you've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. These are not good words for the king to hear. One word opens up so much. And then Perez. Your kingdom is divided and it's given to the Medes and the Persians. Wow. Lord, don't write anything else. By the way, I think I would have said to Daniel, was there a full stop there? Or has he got something else to say? Please let it be a full stop and not a comma. I'm already at the end. So, what does this mean for us? Well, I'm glad you asked. I need to help you this morning understand that some of you are expecting long conversations with God. That's your way to Him. You use prayer and put requests is a long dialogue before the Lord. But when God, from God to you, the receiver, God doesn't entertain and enter into long dialogue. He speaks words into our spirit that bring us understanding. And they bring strategies and clarity. couple of weeks ago, I'm walking across the car park and I've been praying, asking the Lord to show me something for I don't know how long. And I walked outside the door and I'm just walking. I didn't even get to the car park. And as I walked out the door, I heard the Lord say to me, XYZ. Wasn't a long conversation. I didn't get a buzz on my phone saying, you've got a message. It just came strong in my spirit and I knew that God was speaking and it came with a strategy and it was three words. Three words. Wasn't mini tackle. Passing. Three words. Three words opened up a whole understanding. And I want to submit to you today that if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to learn to receive God in a way that you've not thought about before. God's not going to sit down and have a long, long dialogue with you. You're going to have to pick up frequencies. God's training us how to respond to Him. And I'm going to, and this is as I was praying this week, and God says to me, talk to Him about this. And I'm going to say this to you now. As I was lying in my bed this week, trying to fall asleep, I was reminded of an encounter that I previously had with God some years ago when I was in Manila in the Philippines. And I'd been speaking at this complex called Rizal. And in this Rizal, it's similar to a Kefen Lee. For those who have been to Kefen Lee, you understand what I mean. I was ministering to pastors and leaders, and I'd called a leadership conference in Manila, and I brought these pastors in, and it was on this conference center, and it was like Rizal. It was open, it was tropical, but it was full of armed guards. So as you're walking along the perimeter at night, you've got watchtowers, guys with machine guns. And I'm thinking, oh my days, this was serious stuff. And at least I'm on the inside. I don't know if they were guarding me from getting out or they were guarding others from getting in. And I'd gone there. It's the first time I'd ever been to the Philippines. And I'm just there. And I've got to speak. I'm the speaker. And I've got to speak all day, at night. I've gotten there for 3 days, and by the time I'd finished, I preached 15 times in 3 days. So that was quite a lot. That's where I really found out I had the grace to do it. 15 times in 3 days. And by the way, you also had to have a building in the Spirit each night. So we were full on. We were locked in and locked on to this, and I was thriving, I was enjoying it. I thought, I'm in my element here. And I thought, hey, they guarded me. I thought, I'm under armed protection, it's good stuff. You go to the supermarket in the Philippines, and as you come to the checkout and you're getting in your car, a guy walks out with a big machine gun and escorts you to your car so that no one can rob your food. And he escorts you off the parking lot, and then you drive off, and then you're on your own then. That's how serious, that's how bad Manila was. And so I thought, wow, this is unusual. So during the second evening, I'd been preaching now 10 times at this point, and I've been going building the Spirit, and it's in a tropical place. You're not sleeping because the aircon's naff, but I'm going for it. Hook, line, and sinker. I'm sweaty. I'm hot. And I began this particular night, so we deliberately left room for night time for teaching in the day. But the night time was for signs and wonders, miracles, anything God wanted to do. But the teaching was important and the expression, so they could have both sides of the sandwich. And I did the building the Spirit, and I just about to finish and commending the people to the grace of God, and I put my microphone down, and the Lord said to me, as I can still hear it now, as I put the microphone, I heard it go down, and the Lord said, we haven't finished yet. Okay. So I turned around, and the Lord said to me, I want you to break barrenness. Barrenness. Not barrenness, a barrenness. Okay. What does that mean? But I've got a word. Barrenness. In my spirit. Couldn't you give me that word before, Lord? It's like the Lord saying, are you my servant or not? Do we choose another one? No, no, that's okay, let's go. Are you going anywhere else, Tony? So, some months to me being in the Philippines, now let me come out the Philippines and I'll take you back there in a minute. Sometime prior to me going into the Philippines, I'm asleep at night, as you are, and I'm dreaming. And in this dream, I can hear the word, a word being proclaimed to me in my dreams. Quite good. I like that. It's good. And I'm hearing this word and it's so clear. And I've had this experience twice in my life. The first time I'd had it, no, that was the second time. Second time I'd had it, do you know the song Majesty? Yeah. I wrote that when I was asleep. That song was given to me by God when I was asleep. Can you imagine receiving? I mean, that's brilliant, isn't it? That's brilliant. Being asleep and God gives you a song in the night. I woke up, put the words down, job done. Never done that before. Never done it since. But this particular time, this is how God's training us to be used. God began to speak this one word. Oh, I think it's one word. And I thought, wow, I'd never heard that word before. And all I knew, it had been deposited into my spirit. And as I woke up out the dream, put my feet on the bed, I can hear it pulsating like it's alive on the inside of me. So I'm awake now with a word I've never heard before. But I know I have been encountered. What do I do with it? No instruction, no direction, but I've got a word. So it's got to incubate. It's got to incubate. It's a seed. And I'm going, wee, what is this inside of me, Lord, this word? Now, back to the Philippines. This word that I'd been given was a word called Siriru. I'd never heard the word Siriru. But this word is so clear inside me, Siriru, Siriru. Siriru, that's all I kept hearing, Siriru. I thought, okay, Lord, I know it's you. So I'm back in the Philippines, back at that meeting, put the microphone down. God says, we're not finished yet. Break barrenness. So I stands up and I begins to say, look, is there anybody with barrenness in this room? And this young couple, Mark and Ingrid, Filipino couple, say to me, yes, we believe it's us. Will you pray for us? And out of a bag, she pulls a pregnancy test. Why you take a pregnancy test to a meeting? I haven't got a clue. But this woman's got a pregnancy test in a bag. So they said, you know, we've been trying for a child. And I think she must have took the pregnancy test that day. I think underarm guard, they must have felt a little bit at peace. And there they are. She pulls it out and she's saying, yeah, we think we're barren. And that word comes up and it says, proclaim Siriru over her. So I begins to pray. Oh, I've got one word here, Lord. I'm going to have one good go at it. And I begin to proclaim Siriru, not knowing why or what this word will do. But I know I've got the word. And I proclaim Siriru over her. I don't even know I'm pronouncing it right. But I'm just speaking it out anyway. I'm the one with the microphone. I get to dictate the flow. Siriru. No signs. Obviously, how do you know if barrenness has been broken off when you've just prayed some? You don't. Later on, I returned home. It was just a memory. It was just an encounter. Then all of a sudden, I get an email saying, hey, Mark and Ingrid are expecting a child. So he's like, woo, that's cool. And then they say to me, some months later, she's had the child. They've called it Siriru. So there's a child now in the Philippines called Siriru. Not Silly Moo, Siriru. And I learned that this, how God begins to speak, he speaks in word 101. He puts a very strong impression on the inside of our hearts. A word that unless you respond to it, you can't water it and feed it. If you don't respond to it, it'll never breed life. It was in my spirit and I kept praying about it. Lord, give me understanding, give me understanding, give me understanding. And I'd looked in my books upstairs, my reference material, couldn't find any word. And then Uncle Google came along. And Uncle Google gave me a wee insight into this, because as God began to speak to me about this encounter the other day, I thought, that was a long time ago since I looked at it. I'm going to ask Uncle Google. So I went to Uncle Google and I got some kind of insight. Not the answer for the word, but I got some insight, and I want to share it with you this morning. Because when you're receiving stuff, you don't know if you're nuts. You don't know if you're nuts. You're out there on a limb. Siriaroo. What does that mean? It's not a word. Really. But then I can't argue with this Mark and Ingrid. You know, there's a young child in the Philippines. Well, I don't know, she could be married now. I don't know, it was that long. How long ago was that? I forget how long it was. She's now, could be 16 years of age. And you say, what's your name, honey? Siriaroo. That's an unusual name. How did you get that? Well, some weird preacher from England came to the Philippines and prophesied over my mum and dad, and they thought it was a good idea to call me Siriaroo. Words have consequences. Many of us are called what we're called because it means something. Yeah? They wanted to call me Stanley. Can you imagine? Stanley! Stanley! Come on! Can you imagine you'd be calling me Pastor Stanley? I tell you what, I just knew the angels went, well, that's not happening. He's not a Stan. It sounds too much like Satan. He's going to be called Tony. In fact, he's going to be called Anthony. Anthony, actually. It's my posh name. Stan. My dad was called Stan. His name was called Stan. And they were Stans. But I'm an Anthony. And I began to look that word. Siriaroo. Siriaroo. Now, if you look on Uncle Google, I broke the word down, because I haven't got the full meaning. I just know part of this word. In Japanese. Yeah, because I'm thorough, you see. I'm a scholar. I go all the way. Go all the way. Uncle Google does a lot for me. In Japanese, the word, you know what the word aru means? Hippo. Big problem. I had an aru problem. It was a big problem. This couple could not conceive. You may have an aru in your life. Right now, as we're seeking God, in our time of prayer and fasting, you may have a problem the size of a hippo. Hello? But God has released words ahead of time. A hippo problem. Now, you're not going to tackle a hippo, are you? Those things are tough. But when we've got cancer, when we've got sickness the way we have in the house, when we've got problems, and we've got all kinds of issues, they're hippo problems that resist us. And they stand there and they say, well, I'm bigger than you. And you better have something to be able to shift the hippo problem. Hello? And then I looked into what it means in Tamil. And I got excited when I read what it meant in Tamil. You know what it means in Tamil? I say I'm a well-educated man. I've been around the world looking what this word means. And in Tamil, do you know what it means? Something that is waiting to be formed. It has no shape until it is formed. Wow. Come on. Wow. How many things have you got in your life that has no shape, or it's the wrong shape and it needs reshaping and it needs to be reformed? Words form things. And words knock things out of shape. Self-esteem has been knocked out of shape because of people's wrong use of words. Self-acceptance is because you know how to speak to yourself and you're okay with yourself. And we need, so if you think you've got something that's unformed, to reform something, it appears like a hippo. You can't change a hippo shape. A hippo is a hippo. I'm sorry. With the word of God inside of me, that hippo will become any shape I speak. Because the word of God in us has the power to break down, uproot, tear down, reform, recreate. When nothing was there, God spoke the recreative word and he said, let there be. Let there be. Let there be. You've got to look at what the let it be's of God. It's not the Beatles who sang Let It Be. God was singing it well before. Let it be. And that was the creative word of God speaking things into being. It's called Word 101. Are you getting this? Now, let me put a terms and conditions in here. City of Roo is not your Shazam. City of Roo is not your genie out the bottle word. City of Roo is not your magic in a pocket. Well, our pastor said it, so I'll now go and throw it like pixie dust over all my problems. Why? Because he didn't say it to you. He said it to me. You go and find your own word. Can't say to a hippo problem, our pastor said City of Roo. The hippo's going to look at you and say, well, you better bring your pastor here. Or you're not your pastor. You can't use, in this context, a city of Roo. You know why? Because it's a word that's come from heaven. It's not a biblical word, or that I know of at this point. And it's something that God's planted into my heart. But if God says to you, go to Macedonia in your dream, guess what? God spoke it. Macedonia is God's word to you. If God says, come to England, Manchester, it's God's word to you. So you've got to know God's word to you. You can't borrow my words. Why? Because they're mine. And I didn't get this to tell you that you can go around saying City of Roo. But guess what? If I'm praying and I see a hippo, it's called City of Roo. Because it's a word that's been revealed. I know its power. So when the disciples try to... when the sons of Sceva tried to borrow the power and they tried to say, come out in the name of Jesus, what did they say? Paul we know, Jesus we know. But who are you, City of Roo? Or Silly Moo? So, let's see here. Let's go back. There you go. Let me just show you this. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to wrap this thing up. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Don't look at the slide for a minute. Just read the scripture. The slide will make sense when you read the scripture. And this is what I want to impart into you today. Is this helping you?
Yes.
We have not received the Spirit... 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world. Okay? But the spirit who is from God. Why? Because the same God that's in all our gifts is the same spirit, same God, same Lord. If we have another spirit in there, another spirit can't coexist with God and Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're all part of each other. So, we have not received the spirit of the world, but we received the spirit who is from God, that we may freely understand. Yes. Underline, freely understand. There are some things that God wants us to freely understand. Some things that God wants to share with us. This is called spiritual intelligence. This is what we speak, not in words. There it goes, words. Not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but words taught to us by the Spirit, so they come from a different source. Now watch this phrase now, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. You cannot express God without using words. You can't. You can't reveal God by human wisdom. You have to reveal God by using spiritual truths, spiritual words. And it says there, expressing spiritual truths. And in those words, truth, there are many words to use. In spiritual words. So we look at here and we see, first of all, there are words taught to us. Look at the screen here now, if you will, please. There are words taught to us by the Spirit. How many of you would agree? There are words taught to us by the Spirit. Now, when God teaches, is he the teacher? Yes. Right. So does God always have to speak chapter and verse? No. God's the teacher. God is the Word. So when God teaches me Siri Aru, I don't know if that's Aramaic. I don't know. That could be the tongues of angels. I don't know. The point is, I'm the receiver. So I acknowledge stage one. There was a word taught to me by the Spirit. Amen? These are words, number two, these are words that the Holy Spirit deposits into our spirit, words that you and I must acknowledge. So when God speaks something you've not heard before, or it's a new instruction, your first response is to say, Lord, message received. Now the dialogue might be, Lord, I don't know how. Lord, I'm. Can't you choose somebody else, Lord? Lord, I'm fearful. But the point is, you've acknowledged the word. So we start on the acknowledgement first. When something, you think to yourself, I guarantee you, God's sending you messages every day. Every day God speaks to you, but you're not set up to understand how he speaks. So let me give you a basic understanding. 101, you get up in the morning or sometime in the day and somebody comes to your mind. Somebody comes to your mind because Joel's looking good looking. I'll say, oh, just talk to Joel. You need to talk to Joel. Why? I don't know why. But Joel's in my mind. And then before you know it, you get distracted. But I got the impression that Joel's on my mind. So then I got distracted, easily distracted, but I recognize Joel's on my mind. Then comes dinner time and I'm thinking, Joel's on my mind again. Why is Joel on my mind? But then I get distracted again. Now it's evening, Joel's on my mind. The next day, Joel's still on my mind, but 24 hours have now passed. I see Joel. And Joel says, I say to Joel, how are you feeling? Oh, what a bad day I had yesterday. You won't believe the day I had yesterday. You were on my heart yesterday. And now I know why God put you on my heart. Now let me bring you back into the world of the pastor. I've just explained on the mountaintop, Siri Aru. Now let me take you down to the valleys. Last Wednesday, I'm sat there in my office. Around about 4 o'clock, I have this strong impression Carol's not well. I just think, because I know Carol's been in and out with her health. So I think, she's probably not having a good day today. I just sense it. She's not had a good day. And then that's as far as I took it. I picked Carol's up, sat down. We're having tea in the evening. And I said, have you been feeling today? No, I'm not having a good day today. Not a good day today. I said, oh, isn't that unusual, that? I said, round about 4 o'clock today, I actually had this strong impression that you wasn't feeling well. And then the Holy Ghost said to me, but what did you do about it? Yeah, yeah. Don't get all smart that God spoke to me. What did you do with it? And do you know what I had to say? Lord, forgive me. Oh, it wasn't a city of Aru moment then, was it? I'm giving you both sides so we get a clear picture. These days when we don't recognize God speaking, and there's other days, do you know why? Because he didn't come with a feeling like City Aru did. But Carol was just as important a Siri Aru. And I'm saying to you that when God speaks to you, it's like an answering machine on the inside. Call Joel. Call Joel. Call Joel. I'm not saying everyone call Joel now, but you know what I mean? It's saying, call Joel. Call Joel. And your response time is going to determine how quick God can move. It's the key that opens the lock. Your response time will determine how fast God can move. Just your response time alone. Recognizing Joel was on your answer machine. It keeps beeping away on the inside. Now, when you're being trained in this area, you will make mistakes. But you've got to rectify it quickly as possible, or you won't get as effective in your Christianity. And I guarantee every day, God is putting a Joel on your answer machine. Yeah? So, quickly. These are words taught to us by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit deposits into our spirit, words you and I must acknowledge. Then we say, now it needs to be expressed. Now it needs to come out and be expressed. Yes, Lord, I acknowledge you're speaking to me about Joel. Right. So now I'm expressing, I'll start praying for Joel. Yeah? This is you, the believer, speaking, demonstrating what you've heard and have received internally. Now it's got to have an outward flow. Yeah? So it comes in at the top. Notice where the arrows are? That's the heavens speaking into you. It comes down the side from heaven to you, and now it goes back up to heaven. And thus you complete the cycle. Heaven speaks to you. You now respond and say, I got your message, heaven. Now you start pushing it back up to heaven. And now the cycle is complete. And that's how communication flows from heaven to earth. The problem's not heaven. The problem is earth not receiving it and responding. Then we see number five, strongholds through the use of spiritual words. Through the use of spiritual words, things begin to happen. So I proclaim, Siriru. Now I needed the release of the Spirit to use that word at that moment, at that time. Now I understood why God had prepared. Isn't it amazing that God prepared, God saw Mark and Ingrid's issue a long time before they'd even started trying for children. And then this Englishman comes abroad, he's got this word, doesn't know why, but God's got a word to fix that problem and anybody else's problem in that room. That's the Spirit of God. Through the use of spiritual words. And these are the effects that our words have on the earthly and spiritual realm. If you're going to affect the spiritual earthly realm, you've got to have words. And you've got to have spirit-driven words. Amen? And only you can respond. How many of you know that there are closed doors? There are some closed doors that God has closed for our benefit. And there are hippo doors where people and things and circumstances are stood in the way. The demonic Gadarean was a hippo. He was blocking the way. And Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Let's go and arrest this boy and let's go and reform and reshape this boy on the inside. And God began to deal with him on the ground and he removed the hippo and he reformed that boy's life. That man's life, and that man became a very useful instrument in the hands of God. God wants to give you words to reform and reshape environments. Yes. Do you believe you can reshape your children with words? Yes. If you can destroy your children with words, you can reshape them with words. But you've got to have spirit-driven words, not human wisdom. Although, albeit, some wisdom does help. And brothers, he says in Corinthians, if I come and speak in tongues, what good will it be unless I will bring some revelation or knowledge? So when I get a word, it's a revelational knowledge to unlock a door, to reform something on the ground. In these next coming days, in this house, God is going to reform. He's going to speak to our bodies. And we're going to reform our bodies. So the organs in our bodies that's causing us problems have to be readdressed because they're hippo problems. And God has to give us a word by the power of the Spirit to drive out. And the moment you use the right words at the right time and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the hippo begins to shrink. He's not as big as he thinks he is. Amen? So, Isaiah 59. This, I promise, we're down. Isaiah 59, verse 20. Isaiah 59, 20. The Redeemer will come to Zion. To those in Jacob who repent of their sins. declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them. How many of you know we've got a covenant? Watch this. My spirit who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth. Where are they? They're on you. They're in you. They're in your mouth. Will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants from this time and forever, says the Lord. The words of God has to be given to us to reshape our lives and to reshape generations. The lives of generations. Without you understanding this word, God says, I've given it to you, it's on you, it's in you, but the only thing I can't do is force it out of you. Yeah. That's your role. It's your role as a believer to speak what God gives you. Let's stand to our feet, if we will. I trust you've been blessed this morning. You've been given insight into how God speaks. Word 101. In the beginning, God used word. And you know what? He's never stopped. Why? Because he is word. God doesn't pick his Bible up and walk away. You know why? God is his word. God isn't a book. God isn't a book. God's bigger than a book. We just took his words and put it in a book. God's much bigger than a book. God is a hippo. His presence fills the whole earth, and he doesn't diminish in size. Why? Because he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now, do you know this Lord? Do you know this Spirit? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the same God from which these words flow into that funnel? It's wide at the top because God's bigger than you and I, and it flows into little old you, number six. It's got to come out of you. All of God's got to come out of this man. All of God's got to come out of this man. All of God. Because all of God's been deposited. Can you imagine all this size God in this little woman? In this little man. All of God in this big man. Oh, these big boys at the back. The angels at the back. True?
Yes.
Let's raise our hands. And I want you now, if you will, to say, Father, send a message to the answering machine. Train this spirit of mine to receive and respond quickly. Let me use the keys in the kingdom quicker than I've ever used them before. Lord, teach me your ways. Even today, Lord, as I walk out of here, send the message into my spirit. Speak when I'm asleep, so when I wake up, I will arrest the word and acknowledge the word that's been deposited in my heart while I was asleep. Lord, as I read and phrases come into my spirit, Lord, let me capture them, meditate on them, and then seek you as to what to do with them. Let me be a good receiver. Let me be a good receiver. Let me be an even better pitcher. Lord, let me be able to sow back into the spirit realm what I've received. Lord, I've realized from today how slow my response is to what you say and do. I've thought, Lord, that you don't speak to me. I've thought, Lord, I can't understand you. But I understand, oh God, from that simple illustration, how often I've had those thoughts of a Joel in my mind. Not our Joel, but Joel. Father, I pray, oh God, that you will sharpen me up. Quicken me up so I can respond quicker with the word of God. Let your word be on my lips constantly. Father, I'm asking, oh God, to accelerate me in word 101. Accelerate me in word 101. So this week, as you're praying and fasting, I want you to write down everything that you think and feel. And let's see if God confirms a lot of that stuff to you. Because you're in training at this point. You get things wrong. It's okay. It's 4 o'clock. Carol's in my mind and I did nothing with it. So you get it wrong. But at least you know you're getting it wrong. That's good because at least now you know. You're now consciously aware that you didn't have the right action, didn't correspond with the right word. And at least you now took two steps further down the board. But when you still stood there and think God doesn't speak to you, of course God speaks to you. What kind of God would want love you and not talk to you? He's speaking to you every day. Young people, understand this. God's speaking to you every day. In the small things, he's using the small keys to lead you to the big keys. Say, Lord, fill my key ring. It's got to have more than just repentance on my key ring. Give me the keys of the kingdom. so that the enemy will not ransack my life. I declare to hippos, you will be diminished. I declare the word of God in my mouth is a forming, recreating word that's going to shape my world and shape the world of my family, my environment. It's going to shape the world of my street, my neighbors. It's going to be a creative voice that's going to re-engineer, reconstruct. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Lord bless you. Have a great day. Have a great day. And keep speaking.